All right, let's open our Bibles to declare the glory of the Lord to the book of Psalms, number 2. Psalm 2. We're going to take the declaration of the glory of the Lord together. We are reading the whole psalm. All right, 1, 2, let's go. Why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury. As for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, "Thou art my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession. You shall break them with the rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence, and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, lest he become angry, and you perish in the way. For his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him." Amen. 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 Father, we thank you. It's a beautiful day. Thank you for you have prepared a word for us, each one of us. Thank you, Lord, for you have prepared the manifestation of your power for each one of us. Thank you, Lord. All right, as we go into the word of God today, we receive insight. Amen. We receive understanding. Amen. We receive correction. Amen. We receive healing. We receive empowerment to do what we are supposed to do. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we declare as follows. The Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. Good morning again, everybody. I'm happy you're able to beat the time and get here. That's very nice. So that's very, very nice. All right, the Lord is good. Let me take a text of scriptures to start today. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Just to take a text before I begin to speak. Ephesians chapter 2. All right, let's start from verse 10. Or 8. Let's take 8. I just want to include some things in 8 in what we are saying. He said, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh," I like the fact that he emphasized the fact that it's in the flesh. Because really, you're no longer Gentiles. You understand? He said, "Remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed," that is the circumcision this time around, "is performed in the flesh by human hands." He said, "Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that in himself he might make the two into one new man, that is, both Jews and Gentiles, thus establishing peace. Small aside, when I see Christians sometimes, pastors, preachers, analyze the issue in the Middle East. Now, Palestinians and Israelites, Israelis, because Israelites in the Bible, the modern day ones are Israelis. The Palestinians and Israelis, when I see them analyze, I'm sorry to say, they do not analyze like Christians. I'm sorry. One man, even I was invited to that discussion. They went to the Bible, all right? Like, not to participate, or just to listen. Some preachers were speaking, and they were showing from scriptures that the land belongs to Israel. One man even said, if I was the Palestinians, I would just pack my things and run away. And I was looking at them. I said, is this the Bible interpretation? No, it is not. Does the land belong to Israel? It's irrelevant. It's insignificant. It's of no consequence. The only way to establish, you know, there are two groups of unbelievers there. Some Palestinians, some Israelis. They are united in one common thing. What is it? They have rejected Jesus. Both parties rejected Jesus. So all these stories you are telling, I don't know where it starts and where it's going. There is only one way to achieve peace. That's what I'm reading. Can you see that? He said, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity between Palestinians and Israelis. Do you see what I'm saying? He said, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. The dividing wall was that covenant. Right now, the uniting, now I'm looking at what, bond is rejection of Jesus Christ. That both, they are united. But then, the real unity that God planned is in whom? In Christ. He established, this is what he did. He abolished in Christ the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing what? Peace. Let's not, when we are Christians, I keep on saying, let's not talk politics. Say, what is the plan of God? So if you're a pastor, a preacher, and they ask you, what's the plan of God? What is it, the destiny? Say, bro, sis, there's nothing else for anybody there. There's no hope apart from Christ Jesus. So if you're a pastor, don't go there to be doing aid to Israelis as if you are doing God a favor. If you cannot preach God, like Christ, boldly, forget it. The people don't need, they can't achieve peace any other way. Only in Christ Jesus. Now, what I want to emphasize is that Christ, see some preachers that I love, they're in that category. They don't magnify Christ when it comes to, in fact, they will tell you that God has two covenant peoples on the earth. And I say, how? In which Bible? They said the church and Israel. And I said to you, under God, no! Any promise God made to Israel is not fulfilled outside Christ. The only thing, and Jesus Christ himself said it. The Lord said it himself, your house will be left to you desolate until you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. All God's promises are only yes in Christ. There's no way. It's impractical. How can he have two covenant people on the earth? He doesn't. He said to the first covenant, if you want to be effective, I have broken down the wall of partition. So what you will do, you will come into Christ Jesus. And when you are in Christ, the promises applies to anyone that believes. There's no analysis of scripture that would differ from what I have said that does not remove Christ. And that is what we do a lot of times. We remove Christ from the discussion, from the equation. He is removed. And so we render the people hopeless because the only hope they have is Christ. Sometimes you see our Christian television coming out from the United States. When they analyze this issue, I just shake my head. I said, do you realize that every soul in that Palestinian side is precious to the Lord? Do you realize that Jesus died? No, it says, no, it's not this thing. Do you believe that Jesus died for Ben Netanyahu? No, answer me. Do you believe that same Jesus died for Yahya Sinwar? Well, that's the head of Hamas that was killed. Now, do you think that Jesus looked at them equally? Yes, he does. Either you believe or you don't believe. If you believe, you are saved. If you don't believe, you know, the Bible, when he was saying, who that does not believe is condemned already. Are you aware that he specifically was speaking to Jews? He preached that message in Judea. He preached that message amongst the Jews. He wasn't even talking to Gentiles that time. It applies. I'm not saying it doesn't apply. But we make it look now as if it's just for the Gentiles. The Jews don't need that. Please. I keep on saying this. And specifically, I'm talking to preachers. Stop saying things that are not correct. It is not correct for you to imply for any reason that Jesus or the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, God our Father, is showing favoritism there. What he is doing is presenting Christ. And nobody, right now, one group is more powerful than the other. Okay. Just be watching. The word of the Lord Jesus Christ can never go unfulfilled. He said your house will be left to you desolate until you see. When Hamas invaded that, for what started this war that has been going on for how long? No? 2 years now, right? Do you realize that when this thing started, I saw a picture from there. They were dancing before foreign gods. They were dancing before Hindu gods. That festival was a festival unto foreign gods. That was what Hamas swooped in on. If you believe your Bible, you read a different meaning to what is going on. But the summary of what I'm saying is this. Don't analyze that situation and not end it with the fact that only Jesus can save both Jews and Palestinians. Like I said, we're just interesting me. So, an establishing peace. And what did he do? That he might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross. For by it, having put to death the enmity. As he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. And that's what we're supposed to do. Preach peace to those who were far away, that's the Gentiles. And peace to those who were near, and that's the Jews. Verse 18 says, for through him, we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are God's, you are fellow citizens with the saints and of God's household. Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the hope, and this is why I read all of this, just to get to this point, because that's the one that's really relevant to our message. In whom the whole body, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Please notice this. In whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together. Now, what I want to emphasize is the fact that we are being what? Built. I want you to understand what he said earlier. You are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of God's household, having been built upon the foundation of the prophets. Now, he now said, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Now, that's my first text, okay? Let me read this other one. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He said, for even, verse 12, for even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into that one body, Jews or Gentiles or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we're all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. He said, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body. He said, is it not for this reason any the less a part of the body? Sorry. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body. It is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, with what, making it simpler, with what we smell. But now God has placed the members, each one of them in the body, just as he desired. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? That is, how would the body effectively function? But now there are many members, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. And my message today is this. Now, please, I want to turn that around. The hand also cannot say to the eye, you have nothing to contribute. Do you follow my point? Uh-huh. He said, I'm turning it around. He said, or the head to the feet, I have no need of you. And I'm saying again, the feet cannot say, I have nothing to contribute. Do you follow my point? The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. And I'm saying the feet cannot say to the head, I have nothing to contribute. The hand cannot say to the eye, I have nothing to contribute. The Bible is emphasizing here that the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. But I'm adding it, and it's clear. The hand cannot say to the eye, I have nothing to contribute. You don't need me. He said, on the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. He said, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on this we bestow more abundant honor, and our unseemly members come to have more abundant seemliness, whereas our seeming members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the member which lacked, that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Now, the human body is like that. If your foot is paining you, your eye does the crying. Is that clear? It's your foot that is paining you. We will see it on your face. The moment we see you, we say, what is the problem? What is wrong? And it's your foot. Your teeth is paining you. Eh? He went through it recently. Obviously. He said, if your teeth is paining you, the one that, you know, there's what we call referred pain. One day my ear pained me for days. This ear, what is wrong with you? Then finally, a friend of mine said, are you sure it's your ear? Then I realized, no, it's not the ear. It's the tooth. And I ran to my friend, who's a dental surgeon. Please, it is my tooth. So she took an x-ray of it. I said, let's make a long story short. It was not the ear. It was the tooth. And the ear had been paining me for, days. And it was not the tooth. And it was not the ear. There was nothing wrong with my ear. We call it referred pain. If your stomach is paining you, you know where we find out? On your face. Your face is not paining you, but the way you will contort it. Oh God, the body. Last time, one guy was sick. His stomach was paining him, but the rest of the body went to work. We left the stomach in hospital. Have you seen that before? Please, the rest of your body can go to work, but let's admit your stomach, because that is what is paining you. We are laughing about it, right? But bear this in mind. A part of the body suffers. All suffers. A part of the body is deficient. The whole body is lacking. It's one part that's not supplying what it's supposed to supply, but the whole body is suddenly lacking. Now, bear this I'm saying in mind. You see where I'm going in a moment. Have I finished reading? Where did I stop here? Okay, 26. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now he says, you are Christ's body and individually members of it. Now said God has, let me just stop here. Okay, let me just read. And God has appointed in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, the helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. Alright, let me just stop. Okay, I cannot stop there. The Lord is good. Alright. Now, let's continue looking at this issue of the servant of God. Again, I'll keep on repeating this thing I've said many times. We have been saved to serve. We're not saved to go free. We're saved to what? To serve. You are not a true Christian if you do not consider yourself a servant of God. I've said it many times in the course of this teaching. What we were doing those days when we were younger was to magnify sonship. There were sons of God, and we actually went out to brag that some people were servants before, but now we are sons. And the idea was that they are inferior. We are superior. First, let's say this. God didn't say so. We said so. He said, Israel is my son. That's what he called the whole nation. So, let's not stay there. But what I want to emphasize again, to remind us of, is that those that taught us these doctrines, what did they do? They called themselves servants. Number one of them, yeah, Paul. Who taught us all these things? He never introduced himself as Paul, the son of God. He said, the born slave of Jesus Christ. That's one thing you remember. We've gone over this again and again. So, it is a matter of fact that every responsible Christian is a servant. Beyond a servant, he's a slave. He's owned. She's owned. And you must do the work of him that owns you. Everybody is on assignment. The first set of messages this ministry has in the archive, when we first started recording, is titled Man on Assignment. The emphasis being that none of us is on this earth for no reason. There is a specific assignment that God appointed each person for. Last time we explained that each of us has what? Do you remember? Two words. One? Give, thank you, and then? They are tied together. They're very close. Why are they looking at me? You're not on last step. Grace, thank you. Those are the two words. Each of us has a gift. Each of us has grace. And I emphasized that, you see, the gift is the thing you are carrying. The grace is the ability you have to deliver it. Now, you are here this morning. I'm teaching the word of God. That insight you are getting from the words that I'm speaking is what I call the gift. The ability to stand here, despite how I feel, despite my own weaknesses, despite my own shortcomings, is what is called grace. So I have been given grace to be able to deliver the gift. The gift is not mine. Do you get my point? In fact, personally, I have that testimony. People will come and sometimes people are talking about me, you know. Pastor, I said, you know, that time I was passing through this. There was one I heard recently. I was knocked out. That is like knocked out. Like what? The lady said that she saw me somewhere. I didn't recognize her. She introduced herself to me. And I was in hospital. And then I said to her, okay, what's the issue? And I said, I have had that. Don't worry about what I used to do. I mean, come on, go home. Now, I remember seeing her that day, but I couldn't remember that conversation. That she looked at his thing and said, okay, the man of God said, there's no problem. I should go home. And she went home. And she has been fine. That was a few years ago. As I tell him, I said, oh, be careful what is. Do you get my point? You know, I was like, when she was saying this, then I met him and he said this. Now, this is where I'm going. It's obvious. It's not, thank you. It's obvious. Maybe I'll just give him what I felt was wise counsel. But the person heard something different from it. I said, I told the man once, I was just joking. There are two of you. The guy was sitting next to a lady. I said, you should marry. He said, no. I said, you look very nice. And the guy married the girl. He said, the prophet said we look nice. As I told myself, Panky, stop joking. Stop going around cracking jokes. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, where I'm going with that is that that's what they call a gift. It didn't bless me. It blessed somebody else. Yeah, because it wasn't mine. So you see, many times, that's the testimony I get. People give me a testimony about their life. That I said this, and then they heard this from what I said, and they did something. And I'm there, I'm smiling. What they don't realize is that I can't remember saying anything like that. People will just say that, yeah, that day you were not preaching, you not said like this. I just realized that what God was saying to me was that this, and they're testifying, no, it's a testimony. Like my friend was here last time who said that I was the one that helped him obey the call of God to ministry. I remember that conversation we had. But the things he said, I said, I couldn't remember. And he was saying, I was trying to remember, when did I say this? But I obviously wasn't the one that spoke. That is what is called what? The gift. So you see, it's a gift. You are carrying it from one place and delivering it somewhere else. The ability to deliver it is what is called what? Grace. The ability to deliver it is called grace. So each of us, I said it last time, everybody has what? Well, whichever one you say, everybody's carrying a gift, everybody has grace. Now, you know, there's something I kept on emphasizing when I was speaking. And that's the fact that the hand cannot say to the eyes, I have nothing to contribute. And that's what I want to preach today. You know, a lot of people don't bear that in mind. We ended with that last time. They don't bear in mind that they have a gift. Now, what I'm trying to get across is that it doesn't belong to you. So if you don't deliver the gift, you are denying somebody. You are going to make the eye suffer because you, hand, you feel I'm not important. So the eye will chronically lack something which you can solve. But because you decide that I'm not important, You don't do anything about it. I use my life, all right, because it's something I understand better than myself, all right, as an example. There are times my wife and I will sit at home. Well, we don't do that much in recent times. But when we started getting testimonies of what Kingdom Word has done in the lives of people, do you understand? Then once I told my wife, I said, do you know we could have said no? Yes. We could have refused to come to Enugu. We could have decided we will not do this ministry. Now, we won't just tell the Lord, no, we're not doing. It's really subtle. When you are going off, it's little by little. It's something will take your attention when you don't bear in mind that you have a gift that must be released to those who it belongs. Now, like Paul said, each of us has what? Grace according to the measure. How do you say it again? That's Romans chapter 12. He said, we have gifts, yes, that differ according to the grace given to us. So when you find the grace in your life, that gives an idea of the kind of gift you carry. You may not know what the gift is, but you understand you have a grace. I give an example. I knew for long ago, not now, as at by 91, 92, I knew I had the gift, the grace. We call it gift, all right? But the proper word is gift, is grace. I knew I had the grace to teach the word as at 91, 92, even before then, around that 91 side, 1991, 1991. But what exactly I would do with it, I had no idea. I told you my own plan while I was in school was to go to Jos and go and start a church. Does that rhyme? Yes. It was my plan to go to Jos and start a church. And I sketched it, I drew it, and I really was looking forward to it. Of course, what started it was the idea that I discovered the grace. The grace was there, but what will the grace do? I have no idea. I had no idea then. So my interpretation was what I just gave you. What happened to me was that I felt that if you are going to, because of the grace I had, that was what ministry was. But God had a different idea. The pattern of the ministry that he planned was different. Where it will be was very different. You know, after I'd been in Enugu for years, now I want to say something that will appear very arrogant. Pastor Leva, it will appear as if what I'm saying is the height of arrogance. But I'm sorry, I still have to say it. If you want to stone me afterwards, you stone me downstairs. All right? I realized. Hi, can I say it? Okay, let me just say some things. Number one, I suspected that what I'm doing here, God couldn't find somebody else to do it. One, I am convinced Eastern Nigeria would not have been at peace now, except that 20-something years ago, I agreed to come here to come and preach. Now, like I said, you can stone me if you want to stone me that. How arrogant can a man be? That's your problem, you know? Not my problem. I have said what I want to say. And I have my reasons. I've talked to preachers before. And I'm in their house, I'm talking to them. And I said, the way this man is speaking, left to him will be at war. And he's a preacher. In Enugu, we're both in Enugu. And I'm talking to him. And I realized that left to him will be at war. If he preaches this nonsense he's sharing with me personally, openly, and his spirit, even if he's not saying it, his spirit is releasing that thing into the air. When, let me not mention this for certain reasons, just to make my message easier. When our old venue, at Utigbade, when a brother came up to me, said, Pastor, we have to do something. I've not seen that guy in a long time. I said, what is the problem? Say, are you aware of this and this and this and that? Okay, it was when BFR radio came on air and this guy was saying the things he was saying. It was so bad that WF Kumi wanted to do a crusade in Aba. They had to carry mobile policemen to escort men who are pasting posters. Yes, that was how much poison the environment had been filled with. Many of us who are here then, we know that we began to pray. And we had to come against some of those things with teaching, with instruction. That's what I'm saying, The Bible says, there is he that letteth, or let's use modern English, there's he that hinders, and he shall continue to hinder until he's taken out of the way. What does that tell you? There are things that cannot happen except some people are removed. That is, your presence in a place, you may not know what exactly, will make some things impossible to happen. Just because of the way you talk, the way you pray, the way you behave, very importantly, the spirit you are releasing into the atmosphere there. That's what I'm saying, So I do not, Paul said, I magnify my office. I do not consider myself of no consequence. I do not consider that my coming to any group is of no consequence. Or I just felt like coming. That's why I came. I believe that God said, Banky, if you don't go, we are going to have a problem. And many people, you know, let me say something about being a soldier again. Because actually what I wanted to preach today, all right, there are two things. One of them is the hindrances and then the danger of not using it. The reason why we don't use the gift and the danger of not using it. So let's start with the hindrances, okay? Sometimes some people feel, just feel like you have no consequence. We don't have a sense of importance. They just believe that somebody else will do it. Let me quickly say something to you. It's not always so. I preached it here before. One of God's major problems, if I can, I can say that he has a problem. He has problems once in a while. The only problem really he has is what? Finding people. Yeah. It's a problem the Lord has, finding people. If he wanted food, he would speak a word. Let the vegetations bring forth. If you want anything he wants, he just speaks. If you look, you say, okay, the sun is not enough. He said, okay, Joshua, you need more sun, Abi? He said, yes. Okay, so tell the sun to stand still. Joshua told the sun, it's too still. They were in the wilderness. If water is your problem, strike the rock. And that time he said, speak to the rock. And water will come. There's no road. He said, okay, move the mountains out of the way so the people can pass. He did that. Mountains skipped. That is, the topography of the wilderness changed because of the people of God. They were in the wilderness. God made a road for them. He will look at the wilderness. Well, turn it to a fruitful field. Not a problem. You know, they said this earth is too small to contain all of us. God says, like, that do you even know? If I tell you this, you'll take some of you surprise. The earth grows. This earth you are standing on, it expands in size. Very slowly. The continents expand at the same speed as your nail grows. That's geology. I didn't even manufacture it. It's not the Bible. But God will come to a place. I sought for a man. I found none. So let's seek him for somebody. He said, there is none that stirs himself up. He didn't find. He came to what do you call that place? Sodom and Gomorrah. And he did not find 10 righteous people. He needed 10 righteous people so he could spare the land from judgment. And you know what? He didn't find. He did not find. And there were many persons all over the place. That's why there are times that doing writing is agonizing. Like this morning, I was rushing to get here. I was rushing to get here on time. And I have a rule in this town. I don't disobey traffic lights. It's a personal rule. And then I got to a place and the thing turned red.
And I was rushing. Now, the painful part was that how many of us were on the road? Maybe two or three of us. I told my children, what kind of thing is this? Somebody should switch off this traffic light, Joe. But it didn't pass. You know my reason? I'm careful when the law comes to account those for whose sake he will bring order into the city. Yeah. If he says there's going to be disorder, there are times he will look and say, well, there will be no disorder if I can find 10 righteous people. And like I said to you before, when he's counting 10 righteous, he doesn't come to church. Father God, we worship you. He doesn't come to count. He never goes to church to count righteous people. He doesn't go to church to count righteous people. You know where he counts righteous people? At work. He goes to market. Traffic light. Thank you. Judges. You go to court. He starts saying, that judgment you are writing. Please, if you are a judge. When I say judge now, whether you are a magistrate, a high court judge, court of appeals judge, justice of the Supreme Court, or arbiter, you know what they call arbiter? A certified arbitrator. People bring a father in a home, a teacher in a school, a pastor. People bring matters to you to judge. Be careful. Your own matter is more serious than average. And if you're a Christian judge, let me just tell you, if you take a bribe to perfect justice, let me say it the way it is, God will severely punish you. Let's say it the way it is. Is that okay? Your judgment is more than that of the person who steals. Your judgment is more than that of the person who commits adultery. You can't pervert justice in the eyes of God and go scot-free. Oh God, he will so discipline you. Please, if you become a judge, first swear, take an oath of poverty. That is, love it. Let everybody know this guy. He likes to be poor. Don't tempt him with money. Let everybody know. Who's the case before that guy? You can't bribe him. He said, shoot him. I said, that's better. Because you can't bribe him. You can't bribe him. If you're a judge, be careful. There's no place to show your Christianity as much as when you're a judge. So, when God is counting those who will be what? The 10 in Sodom and Gomorrah, according to salt, that's what they are, the salt. It doesn't go to church. So those of us like to do good in church and do bad at work. I told you, God doesn't go to church. Look, he sends us to church. He doesn't come. you get what I'm going to say? He sends pastors and some people, they go and deliver my message. Prophet, deliver. When I want to check, it's not the one that I think when you're there. I'm waiting for them outside. We'll go home together. We will go to work together. I want to see how they behave when they get to the office. That's the reason why sometimes, with agony, I obey some rules. Sometimes when they say no parking in a place, I don't park there. Not sometimes, regularly I don't. Why? I just think in my mind, if everybody parks, we'll never have order in this society. The single person that I am will not make a dent. But when God needs, because these things are blessings, when God wants to bless us, he has to have a reason. He has to have a reason. Let me donate myself as a reason. Now, what I'm going to say is that, so, you are not inconsequential. Let's get back to the thing we're saying. Nobody's inconsequential. The reason why many people just think they're inconsequential, they don't know how God is doing. Let me explain something to us. God is a master builder. Have you ever seen a mechanic? Have you taken your car to a mechanic before? And he removes something from your car. Say, why don't you replace it? It's not doing anything there. Please, if you see that kind of mechanic, don't come back. Just take your car, go to another mechanic and say, they remove this thing. Please put it back or put a replacement. Now, if he explains to you what it is doing, and he says it's not critical, but this is what it does, so the cost of replacing it may be more than the advantage, stay with him. But when he tells you, you know, they do anything, just go away. Just don't trust that fellow with your car. Because if you know these manufacturers, if you know Yuboba, they save money on everything. There's nothing there that doesn't have a reason because it's costing them money. So if they tell you it's not doing anything, don't believe. It's not possible for it not to be doing anything. The guy just doesn't know. That's human-made design. Are you getting my point? Some of those things are there. Hey, sorry, can I talk some more? Eh? Anything you want to do in life, eh? Please ask an expert. I'm a doctor, right? People call me. My son has been sneezing. Please, relatives, friends. You know what I do? Wait. I call a pediatrician. This is what I think. This is what I think. It's not a big deal. But wait. I call a pediatrician. My relative called me, said the son is behaving like this. I told them this, this, and this. Please, what do you have to say? Meanwhile, I know more than the average person on the road. But I allow the experts to talk. I have a friend. He was fencing his property. So I just said to him simply, why didn't you ask like an architect? He said, it costs money. They do too much money. Okay, I kept quiet. Then it rained. And the fence fell down. Instead of him to learn, should I have listened to you? He didn't say so. He said, it fell down, but it fell down intact. It was good. I said, but it fell down. He said, it was intact when it fell down. I said, it fell down intact. But it fell down. As small as fence might look, the fence of a build, I asked an architect. Went to the back of my house once. Something just made me go there. I looked. This fence is leaning slightly. I called Bishop. Well, our brother will call the architect. I said, Bishop, come. Say, came. What's going on? He took a look at it. The property behind you is not developed. So this one, we have filled it up. So it's putting pressure on the fence. So it's leaning that way. So I said, what do we do? He said, do not give us any notice when it's going to fall. So what do we do? He said, let us break it down. So he brought men and hammered my fence to the ground, dug the ground. The money I spent just to do two sections or two or three sections of the fence. And I told my wife, I said, if this guy was not an architect, he wouldn't cost me this amount of money. He's not charging me. But he said, let us do it properly. Say, when we do it now, it will never happen again. Where I'm going is that, please, anything you have to do, Yes, ask an expert. Let not somebody who doesn't know anything not come and be giving you counsel on things they don't know. Before your fence falls intact. Before it falls intact. But it fell. And the guy is still bragging on how good it was. But it fell. It's on the ground. Thank you. Human beings die intact. Now, why did I go into that? All right. When human beings design, there's a reason for everything. Okay, I was going to tell a story. Now, let me not leave my message. Let me sit in it. So when God plans, that's where I'm going. When God plans, there are things he puts in place you won't know the relevance of. Left to you, it doesn't matter. When I started ministry, I told you, I got a lot of counsel. And very logical, very sensible. But certain reasons I knew that this is not the right thing to do. Very sensible, very logical. But I knew it was not the right thing to do. Why? Because the person that sent me is a master planner. He knows why he wants it the way it is. You may never find out. Just do it the way he said so. He won't know why he said so, but he knows. Many persons will think that, oh, I'm not of any consequence. What I'm doing is not important. But you will not realize that sometimes what you are doing is the reason why somebody will live. And somebody else will die because nobody is doing it for him or her. I've heard the story of a woman who was, we know it's medically true now, right? But then they didn't know. She was a cleaner in like an orphanage, yes. But she had a bad habit, in quotes. She, in the Bible, says, he that shows mercy. She's a caring person. So she had a habit, they were taking care of babies. She had the habit of carrying the children, not just cleaning her, doing her work. She would carry the babies. Let's make a long story short. There's another department there, or another section, where those ones just did their work. They cleaned the babies, put the babies down, fed them what they needed to be fed, and nothing else. They found those ones were always falling sick. And some of them died. But these ones were generally healthy, and nobody could explain why. They ate the same food, they did everything. The difference is that human beings respond to touch. She spent time carrying babies, patting them, you understand, playing with them, touching, and the touch was keeping them alive. When I was a medical student, when babies are very small, preterm and all of that, we nurse them purely in incubators and under radiant heaters. The mothers had little part in it, but that has changed. Because they realized that the body of the mother is part of the health of the baby. Yeah. Oh, they carry the baby. They make the mother sit and carry. Before, we thought, don't contaminate because you have to clean and all of that. He said, no. Contaminate all you want. Carry that baby. Do you follow my point? Many people, the hindrance, why we don't use our gifts, sometimes that we think it's not important. Listen. What is the grace? That which you just find easy. Yeah, you know, it's ability. You just find that you can do it. Met a brother once, but it's a pity now he's late. Tragic circumstances. All right, he's late. But he says, by the way, if you have a gift, it's part of your job to pray to keep yourself alive. See, if you die before your time, you will be held responsible for not fulfilling your gift. You can't use that, oh God, you know I died before my time. God said, why were you not alive? Say, Lord, me alive? Is it my fault? Yes, it's your fault. He shows you where you did not pray. He shows you where you did things that deserve the judgment of death. Why do you do it? Small aside, God compartmentalizes life. Eh? He will send you on an errand. Your name is Moses. You don't circumcise your son. He will wear another garment and meet you on the road to kill you. And when you get to heaven, say, for not delivering Israel, send this guy, punish him. Remove all his reward. He said, but Lord, how could I have delivered Israel? You killed me. He said, why did I kill you? So not circumcising your son denies you of the blessing of having rescued Israel. And technically, that's judgment for not fulfilling your ministry. What was I saying when I said, let me, small digression. I was saying something. Yes. You know, I asked think about it. A university graduate, young man, he just finished university. How are you? Fine, sir. Where do you work now? I work in so and so place. Where? It's in a primary school. Now, no, wait. What do you do in a primary school? You are the principal, you are the head teacher. Oh, no. I'm a class teacher in primary school. You are a university grad. I need you as a student. It's the answer he gave me. I can never forget it. He said, sir, you should see children respond to me. He said, the way children respond to me is unique. He said, children respond to me. So he couldn't teach in secondary school. Where if you wanted to teach, that's where most graduates would go. So he had to stay
in kindergarten, primary 1, 2, 3, that's the area. He doesn't want anything higher than that. He said, because of the way children respond to me. Now, let me explain. What is his gift? I don't know. But we now agree, we understand what grace is. At least we know the grace that he carries. What is that grace? The ability to connect with children and impact children. He said, 2-year-old, 3-year-old. One of our sisters at that time used to say, watch this girl. If she comes in here and this meeting finishes, let her sit at the back. Just look away. Just 10 minutes, come back. All the children are here, they've gathered. And that's it. They are learning scripture. Now you see where I'm going in a moment. If you have a grace like that, I've used this one about children as an example. Oh my God, what will happen to you? Is that Satan will not tell Cher to give you a job. Maybe your father paid for you to go to school as an engineer. And the only children you will see is electrical wire. It's concrete. It's oil that they are pumping out of the ground. It's gas. You that children respond to. And you know, you won't think any of it. And they'll account this for you. See all these children in this neighborhood? Yes. 7 of them are going to go on drugs and you'll be held responsible. 2 of them will die prematurely. It's your fault. Some of them are going to join gangs. See, their fathers don't have sense. Their mothers is retired or mortar. You know what they call mortar? So God knew from time that he wouldn't be able to trust the spiritual development of these children into the lives of these parents. So he said, you will go to that church. You will live in that neighborhood. You will teach in that government primary school. And then you will have Sunday school. At the end of that, there's somewhere a special class for children on Sundays. And I will make them bring their children because they don't want the children to disturb them at home. Don't worry, I'll do that. But you know the problem? You are an engineer. And your mates will come to tell you, is this what your mates are doing? Why are you wasting? Why are you wasting? What is the problem with you? Well, why are you wasting? If we, look, let's forward you some forms. Fill them. Leave the rest to us. I can't finish telling it. I will keep on repeating this story. But the young woman, somewhere in this, our region, who got a job. She's a nurse. Or she was a nurse. Got a job in the village. With a mission. But she had what? Grace. Somebody say grace. Her grace was to teach Bible to women. I told you earlier, you do not know what the gift is. You just know what the grace is. Usually you don't know what the gift is. You just know what the grace is. That's how Paul said, each of us has gift according to the gift, the grace. You understand my point? So the gift is hidden behind the grace. You don't know the grace, the gift, but you know the grace. This woman had the grace. So when she was walking, she started a Bible study. And all the women in the rural area, the village, they were coming. The place began to grow. She began to teach women the word of God until it grew into a church. They will meet on Sundays. They will sing hymns. They will clap. And then she would invite other people to come and help her to preach. Oh, I forgot to talk about the women brought their husbands. Oh, it was not a church of women. There were husbands there. That the DPO in charge of that area, the police officer in charge of the area, had her locked up at the time because she felt she was influencing her his wife. Yes. Maybe he told the woman not to go out, the woman went to church. So he twist it now, find it, just show that he has power. So he had the woman locked up. So the people went and spoke to those that had them influence. Anyway, they had the case sorted. That's not the story. The story is that the man joined the church. Yes, the policeman. The DPO, he joined the church. He started coming. The church was growing. The brothers were taking turns to go there to go and preach. This girl went to a village to go and do nurse work. Then Satan came. Somebody say Satan came. Satan came. How did they come? I've told you, Satan is the person doesn't wear horns. Doesn't wear red and black. Most times he wears white, he wears striped garments like mine. All right? Fine clothes. He said, I want to talk to you. It's about your future. So the family talked to her. They explained to her that she's in the village. She won't get a husband. Oh, first temptation, her salary went down. The mission said they couldn't pay anymore. So the brothers contributed money to pay her the balance of what her salary lost. So Satan said, that didn't work. That's when that came the second way. Told the family to pressure this young woman. That for goodness sake, this is not where you will stay all your life. You need to get married. You need to settle. And they pressed her. People of God, don't let them press you. The more they press you, you push back. Like I said to you the last time, drag every conversation into the spiritual. Drag it to where you are strong. Everybody has where they are strong. Everybody has a geographic area where they are strong. We Christians, where we are strong is the spiritual. If you want to make common sense, people will tell me, you know, Nigeria is finished. I don't know. It may be finished, but I will buy it back. I will create something there. When you want to tell me about the country, I will tell you about the purpose of God and the will of God. You can't answer me. I will start teaching you that you know that God, who made us, who sent us on an errand, gave each person a geographical location. Say, what is this country? Let me die where God kept me. What about your children? Let them die with me. Don't explain away. See, your faith should have this fatalistic attitude that your children will not be able to make it. Let them not make it as long as they believe God, walk with God, fulfill their destiny, and die in Christ. Are you aware that there's nothing you achieve on this earth that will not be left behind? And I'll talk about it in a moment. Every work will be tried. If you build a house, it will be tried. You know how with what? The fire of God. Everything you did on this earth will be tried with the fire of God. It's whether it will sustain, whether it will survive the trial of fire that we're talking about. What do I call it? Yeah. The trial of fire. May I drag? Look. If you tell me this, you see, you know, the children, you know, in this country, when you finish talking, I will talk about the will of God. I'll talk about the purpose of God. I'll talk about how Abraham left a good country to enter the bush, the wilderness, that is my best destiny. And I'll pray that my children be like Isaac, children of Abraham. That's what I'm going to say to you. Then you'll be forced to keep quiet. Once when my mother asked me, your mates have built their own houses. Oh. I said to her, how many of them are teaching the word of God in radio? One man built a house, and that one was teaching the word of God in radio. Both of them are doing the same thing. I mean, they are doing something. Abby, build a house, it's fine. Teach on radio, it's fine. Just make sure you are doing something. Don't tell me to pursue somebody what other people are pursuing. This young woman in question, you know what happened to her? She listened. She listened. So she left. They found her a job in the city. So she left. Now the painful part was that the church died. Oh, there was no church there again after she left. The men who were coming to help were just coming to help. Then she was the resident pastor. She was a counselor. She was the one that helped all the women there and dragged all the people and brought the light of Christ into that area. She got back to town. She got a better job. Shortly after, she got married. The church died. A few years down the line, God got tired and she died. She died. And God said, what do you want to do for? What are you doing for me again? Nothing. Why? Now listen. Some of those women will have problems. Some of the people, young women born in that village, we grow up in darkness, and she will be fully held responsible. The problem of this life is one that starts telling you, what about your future? I've told Christians to answer, let me die in the present. Doesn't matter. As long as it's in the will of God. I said last time, poverty won't kill you.
Poverty will not kill you. It won't kill you. And if it kills you, just make sure it's in the will of God. Somebody must die. Look, everybody, see, apart from one or two of you, that Jesus said should not die. If you are listening to me, if in the next 100 years Jesus doesn't come back, you are dead. Whether you die at 40, or you die at 60, or you die at 100, in the scope of eternity, it's all the same thing. Yeah, so you die at the same time. What matters is what you did with the time you had. So if it is dying, brethren, you will die. I prophesy to you, you shall die one day. If you like, don't say amen. Just die well. Just be found doing what you were supposed to do all the days of your life. Please, you know, when I was in secondary primary school, I did not have a bicycle. When I was in secondary school, I did not have a bicycle. You know, you're asking, so Pastor Frankie, what does that got to do with us? That's how they ask you in heaven too. What has that got to do? You didn't have a car when you were in the earth. Now, when I'm telling you I didn't have a bicycle in secondary school, you're like, so? Is this where you're looking at me? You are looking at me now like, why is he telling us you didn't have a bicycle? I didn't have. The last bicycle I had was in nursery school, tricycle. You know, that kind of thing. And how do I know? I saw a picture taken on my birthday. I can't remember riding those things. Maybe it's when the photographer soon said, I don't even know. I don't even know. It could have been the photographer soon. I don't know. So, this car you want to die for, when you get to the other side, they are going to look back and say, I didn't drive a car on the earth. And they're looking at you, so? So? I'd be like, it's so inconsequential. It's like saying I didn't have a red cloth when I was 10. So, but you had a blue one. Yes. You had a yellow one. You had a white. You had a black. He said, but I didn't have a red. You know, they are going to look at you here and say, something's wrong with this guy. Do you follow what I'm saying? Some of these people push in our faces. That's what the problem is. You can't. I'll get it in a moment. See, there are things that count. There are things that don't count. What is most important is that God says, was this what I commanded that you should be doing? That brother, like I said, is a pity. Something else led to his demise. But if you heard what he said, that day was talking. I called him. I was surprised that he was teaching in nursery school. Yeah, it was nursery school, not even primary school. And he was a university graduate. I said, what? Why? And he gave me only one explanation. He said, you should see the way children respond to me. Oh, God. I said, no. This guy, you are well located. Like I said, something has led to his death. I said, you are well located. Because he found the grace. When you have a grace, it's because you are carrying a gift. And when you have a gift, somebody needs it. You hear what I said? What did I say? When you have a grace, it's because you are carrying a gift. And when you have a gift, it's because somebody needs it. And Satan has only one thing to do. It's the only thing Satan does, and that's what he does all the time, is tell you, is this what you want to spend your life doing? Let me quickly add this one to it. One day, you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give account for that gift you are joking with. God will never, listen to me, he will never ask you, how comfortable were you on the earth? Did you hear what I said? No, you didn't hear me. He will never ask you, how comfortable were you on the earth? In the days of your sojourning, how comfortable were you? If you were supposed to preach in Oka, as an example, and you live in Enugu, the Lord would never ask, how did you get here? Was the car comfortable? What is important is that I gave you a message to preach. You're supposed to preach on this, this, and that. Did you? Say, yes, sir. I went to Oka every month for 2 years until the whole message was delivered. Good. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Somebody will say, but a pastor of your stature cannot be going by boss to worker. That's earth people. People of the earth. They will explain to you the pasture of your stature. One day I went to the bank. I stood there. The man said, "Is that Pastor Banky?" I said, "Yes." He said, "What are you doing in the bank?" I said, "What?" He said, "What are you doing in the bank?" I said, "I have some transactions to do." He said, no. Like, in summary, you're too big to be coming. Did you have somebody to send? I didn't know I was that big. Really. That was the day I discovered. After that day, I never went to the bank again. It's a lie. I came back the next day. He said, "What?" One man came to Enugu. He was joking. He was a comedian. He said, as if he was joking. He came down to Enugu to come and preach. He looked at the car they brought to carry him. Fine car. But it's a car. What I mean, it's not an SUV. Just a salon car, small. He said, "Is this what your pastor sent to carry me?" They were confused. The man said, "No, you should go and look for another car. That is not going to enter this one. The other one is going to enter the next plane and go back to Lagos." He was joking, but wasn't joking. He did not move. He said, "They should go and get another car. And if they don't come back with another car quickly, he's getting another flight and he's going back to Lagos." So they called the pastor. "This man has refused to leave here." They had to quickly look for an SUV, a fine one, to drive to the airport. So what nonsense is this? He told them the price of his own car. "Your car, your pastor will not send this kind of car to carry him. I'm saying to you so that you..." Maybe he was joking. I don't know. The guy was a comedian. Maybe he was joking. "I'm not abusing him. If I come and carry..." But if I'm the one, if you carry him with keke, all I'll do is laugh at you. But the message I'm going to preach must be complete. And I'm saying to you, what God will ask that man is not how did you get out of the airport. He will ask him, "That which I said you should preach, was it preached? Was it true? Did you preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?" Because you can preach the truth, but it's half. Like, tell somebody, "She's my sister." "Well, that's your wife." Did you follow my point? That's half truth. You can preach the truth and add something else to it. Why don't people use their gift? Number one, let me just say it. And I said it before, I said it earlier. Before I tell you why, remember you will give account. And all the distractions of this life, all the distractions that are offered. Let me say this again. No. Your gift is for somebody or for some persons, and their life will be deficient without that thing. Did you hear what I said? I want to have that sense of responsibility, because one of the reasons people don't take it seriously. They think their gift is just an activity. No. It's an assignment that God gave you to fulfill because he wants to bless somebody. That's why I talked about the architect. That's why I talked about the engineer that designs an engine and he puts something in there. Somebody tells you it's not necessary. Sometimes you don't even know the importance of it. The engine is supposed to last like maybe 5 years. It dies after 3 years. And you say, "Wow, that was a good engine." But the manufacturer in his mind said it should have lasted 5 years. But a critical component had traveled. So we keep on replacing the engine every 3 years. When indeed God said, "This thing is supposed to last 5 years." But one man said, "It's not necessary. Remove that component. Replace it. It's not necessary. Look, this component is just 50 naira. It's not an issue. I can put it if I need to, but it's not necessary." And the engine runs smoothly, except that it keeps on dying in the third year. Every 3 years, you replace it. And then one day, God had come to account in his factory. "What's going on here? We use 8 of these engines." "Why? Why do you use 8? I made provision only for 5. He kept on wearing out after the third year. "No. Why was this one not being done?" "Ah, that guy said it's not important, sir. That let him go into commercial farming." So we realized that. So we blocked the hole and left it there. And God said, "That is why the engine never lasted." Let me say this to you quickly. Along the line, I've been saying the reason why people don't use the gift. So let me explain something there. I said earlier, the day is going to come. And everything you did with your life,
will be tested with fire.
You know, I said it before. Now, this is what I'm saying. Assuming you are one of those people that God said, do the children thing I was talking about earlier. And it's in a, okay, let's say Enugu as an example. Say part of Enugu. Stay there. Do the children thing. All right? You can hold a job in the school's board there, in the Enugu State. But I want you to do the children thing. And you notice the grace. So for that reason, you keep on doing the children thing. Now, don't forget, these children don't last long with you because of one problem. They grow. So after 2-3 years, they are gone. And that says to come. God said, don't worry, do the children thing. Now, let's assume now, remember you are an engineer. And somebody gave you a job and you left. Now, you now decided to give massively to ministry. So in your church, you join a church in another town where you located yourself. God didn't locate you. Then, yeah, every month, pastor can count on you. And his ministry is flourishing because of you. So pastor said they want to do a crusade. The total budget is 15 million. Only you and your friends. You give in like 13. Pastor could have given the 15, but let others be blessed. That's the amount of money you have. You give him 13. So he does his crusade. It is successful. We need to build a church. The church is growing. You give massively. Only you. You do the foundation. Wow. And then you are happy because you look like you are making an impact. The only now I'm going to talk about that. Let me just be talking about everything upside down. Yeah. Because what happens is that after a few years, you will forget you had a grace. Yeah. Occasionally, you just remember. Maybe one day you'll be driving past. You see somebody doing, Jesus is wonderful. Amen. Pray. And the genie, Amen, this wonderful. Amen. Pray. You know, just stand. You admire them for a few minutes. My wife is laughing. You admire them for a few minutes. I said, man, those days, and you drive off. You remember for like a few minutes. Then you go. Occasionally, maybe you're in church. You're waiting for your wife. And you go to the children's church. While waiting, two children come to play with you. And before you know what's happening, you started something with them. And they increase to 10. They increase to 20. And they're excited. Uncle. And your wife says, I'm ready. I said, okay, I'll see you guys next time. You remember. Twice in a year. Then you forget. The longer you're away from it, the less you remember. After a while, when they say, those who have the gift or the grace for children here, put up your hand. You won't even put up your hand. You have discovered a new assignment for yourself, which is what? Giving. Now, giving is a ministry. Giving is a ministry. All right? But let's not get there yet. Then the day comes, Jesus now sends his fire. First, it's a spiritual fire. What will surprise you? That all the gifts you, first, you will watch the church, you give all the money to burn. Yeah, because it's a spiritual fire. All right? Everything melts at the coming of the Lord. But more importantly, is that your own work in it. You will see the pastor, and Jesus will shake him and say, what? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I feel like we helped him. When is your turn? Say, hey, all right, let's look for a name. Ahab, Okay, let's say Ahab. So Ahab, it's your turn. And you're smiling. So one angel whispers to the Lord. And he says, yeah, give me the list. How many died at 18? So the angel said that like 22 of them. How many of them were on drugs? And you're like, what do you concern drugs? There were about 500 went into drugs. How many of them did not get to know the Lord eventually? Ah, Lord, there are plenty. There are like 100. Ah, okay. Why? Because Ahab left Enugu. And then you tap the Lord. But I give to this. You know, that has been burnt with fire. That was burnt with fire. Because there's a filtering process. Because it was not part of what you were commanded to do. As good as it was, there is no eternal reward. Because he said to them, occupy with this until I come. Occupy with this until I come. Occupy with this. occupy with. That is, the emphasis is that I gave you what to occupy with. The one you did is not the one I asked. It's not the one I sent you. That is why, see, you know one of the things well, let me say, God gave me the grace to explain to Christians. I've realized now, the world, the world and Satan, they gave us something to pursue. Even we pastors started joining to speak for Satan. No, honestly, I pray. I said, God, please, let nobody who listen to me live and not be more committed to the kingdom. No, I don't want it. Let me not make people who love the Lord start feeling bad. Like the man who I said was preaching and said that, look, Satan is not afraid of your prayer, he's afraid of your money. A preacher said it. It was a training video. We had to correct it. The brethren, Satan is not afraid of your money. He has more than you. Read your Bible. You know he can give people more money than God has been giving people. Not because God doesn't have. Just as if, you know, it's what is important to you. So God says it's not an issue. If with food and raiment, be happy. Satan said, is it money you want? I give you the whole world. Who did you see in your Bible that God ever offered the whole world? Who? We're talking about David was blessed. All his empire. Is it as big as the US of today? Solomon took over from him. Expand the empire. Is all in that area. Satan came to Jesus and said, look at all the kingdoms of the world. So please, leave that in. It's not a, like I said last time, it is not a money contest. If it's a money contest, he will win all the time. Not because he's more powerful than God, but because God won't participate. It's the rest of us who don't have the sense that will be running after it. That's how Christians, without see they do pyramid schemes. They are tired of that now. They now repackage their crypto. You come to church and the emphasis is how you will make money. Satan has given us, oh my father, a goal to pursue that God never gave. Sometimes they even look nice and spiritual. You are a pastor. How many branches? How many branches can you effectively take care of? I keep on saying this, see. Let me mention about four names, all right? I love Bishop David Edepo. May the Lord bless him. I love him. I do. Pastor E. Adeboye, I love him with all my heart. Who else should I mention now? You not get 10 branches now. How go mention you? You see, get one, but I beg, nobody will feel like who they talk. All these spiritual people. I love Paul and Angel, 100,000 seat auditorium. The Lord bless him. I have never, in fact, one day I stood with your brother, your other brother. We were together in Wenas in Lagos. And I said to him, I don't want a ministry like this. 2 hours we were standing there. We're just looking around Wenas. We both came for breakthrough seminar. I told him, and that time I used to, the way I follow Bishop, every brick seminar, I'm there. Every school of ministry, I'm there. But something just happened. I just looked. I said, God knows I don't want a ministry like this. A ministry I love. I saw the crowd coming and going. We're here yesterday evening. Where's the husband? Okay, the other hall. Elder John, 3 of us. Me, you, and Dami were standing there and watching. We're just talking about, and you were joking. Say, Pastor, come and do crusade like this now. And I said, John, Dami, you not even invited me. I will not even come. And yeah, you know, there was a massive program here yesterday. I said, it's just not my thing. I said, what will I be saying to this room? People that came to hear Moses Bliss. No, Let me be honest with you. I was feeling sorry for the pastor preaching. I'm not saying he wasn't preaching well. That's not what I'm saying. I just personally was feeling sorry for him. I saw the way he was jumping. God wants to say, Baba. And in my mind, why are you running up and down like this? Nothing wrong with what he's doing. But he just didn't. At all. I said I was in winners. I love Bishop with all my heart. I quote, in 1 year, I listened to Bishop alone. In 8 months, 400 hours, I calculated. And that's the season I'm telling you about. I was telling my brother that day, I just said, I don't want my ministry to be like this. Because I didn't like it? No. Because I thought it was wrong? No. I admired the man. I was spending all my time and energy. Even giving money, everything, coming there. Look. I told you, I went to school of ministry and winners on a personal invitation by Bishop himself. I was in his office. When we finished talking, it's okay. I'm doing a ministry, school of ministry, beginning from next time. Make sure you're there. I said, yes, sir. He said, when you come, you see me. I said, okay, sir. And that day, I came. We finished, and I stood. I wanted to go and see him. I stood. And something in me said, what are you looking for? That you're not getting from seeing the congregation. I said, really? Nothing. He said, go home. And I was looking at Bishop like this, and I carried my things. I turned and went. I left. And next time, I came back. It was every quarter. I was there. I never missed it. So it's not as if I didn't like the ministry. But something in me just said, this is not you. Like, it's not yours. It's not yours. Well, let's not go into detail of where the things I didn't flow with, you understand? Not like they were bad, but I just didn't see it coming out of me. When I sit and give us assignment, many of us pastors have taken these men that I mentioned, put them on the wall, and they are knighted, so they are praying that God will do for them. And God said, I don't want to do it. If you pray this prayer long enough, you will have it done. Now, I didn't say I would do it. Oh, what did I say? You will have it done. Because after a while, you don't know how spiritual things operate. Satan will say, let us do it for him now. And God said, go and succeed. Yeah. He does it for people. He does it for people. He does it for people. So the world has given us, you see, I told you earlier, when people complain about this country, all right, just listen. Let them give you 10 things wrong with this nation. Let them just mention 2 for you, in which it affected their worship and their ability to fulfill the will of God for their lives. They never mentioned it. They never mention it. That's why I say people, Christians are behaving like they don't believe. My wife and I sat down and I watched people make decisions for their children. I said, do they care about this faith? Do they care about this faith? No, they don't. That is the problem. Satan has given us an assignment, things to pursue. Who is succeeding? He has built a house. Who is succeeding? He has bought a car or a second one. Who is succeeding? He has started a business. Or let's come to our realm, we pastors. Who is succeeding? He has a big cathedral now. Who is succeeding? Count the people that come there. Every Sunday, those guys have up to 2,000 in service on Sundays. Eh? Wow. He's doing well. Then they will not start school of ministry. You know, yesterday, I was talking with 2 days ago, a senior Christian. He told me, he mentioned one guy who I know. Yeah. The guy's a clergyman. They work in the same office. He's in their church. It's a church, if I mention the name, you will be shocked. They were doing competition. They wanted to appoint the new head nationally, the whole country. And people were there. They had voted, you know, Peter, Matthias, and Justus. They had done all of those things. So, finally, they selected some men. Amongst them, they will bring the head of the church. One man now said that they should remove their trousers. Yeah, they should strip. Why did they say they should strip? The elders said they should strip. That the person who's not kind of champ is the one that will enter the position. Yeah. They appointed the new head of the church that he was one person that was not wearing a charm. Did you hear what I said? And it's not the demo. There was a Pentecostal church. Their general overseer did the same thing. He came for council of elders meeting. And he removed his clothes and dared all of them to remove their own. He stripped himself to his boxers and dared all the elders around there to do the same. And they were wearing charms. I'm not talking about one bush church. You want to minister in the body of Christ? With which power now? And you are struggling to hold position in that office? In that denomination? It's because Satan gave us the assignment that God did not give. I said to you last week, I heard the man preach. When he finished preaching, when I was going to church, I was walking gingerly so that my white clothes, starched linen, would not be stained. When he finished preaching, I left the place, stomping into mud, because I realized all of a sudden, this world is not my home. I realized all of a sudden that I'm here on assignment. I realized all of a sudden that my destiny is not about the comfort. It's not about the comfort of this world. And I said to the Lord, please, when I preach, don't let anybody live where I have preached, loving the world more than when he came. I want those who listen to me, when they finish, if you put a knife to their neck, they won't deny the Lord Jesus Christ. I want people who listen to me that when they are done, when they finish listening, they will be totally committed to what God has sent them to do on this earth. I've told you, if anybody makes you look like you're a failure and he cannot help you itemize what God wants to be doing, the only thing he can say is that you have not made progress. What does he count to? You've not built a house. You've not built a building. Everything is things that the Lord will burn with his fire. Tell the person you are Satan. And Satan does not have to be your enemy. The mother of Jesus Christ did it to him. Peter, of course, you know, he did it to him. When Peter said to him, look, none of these bad things will happen to you. Why don't people use their grace? That's one major reason. One, they don't think it's important. Two, they are suddenly... that's a good nice way to put it. They are pursuing the agenda of Satan. That's a simple way to put it. The agenda of the world. They want to measure. Can you imagine a pastor started a church and he confessed that I do not have the grace? You know, yesterday, Moses Bliss, I didn't know him before. I'm not very much into music. It was my daughter that came and went, I said, okay now, when we are going for Bible study, let me draw you, Waka, enter where Moses Bliss is coming to minister. Yeah, that's what happened yesterday. So when we came, we dropped her, she walked over there. If I had to hang around though, because you know they won't start with the Moses Bliss side. So they had to wait till. So we waited. I was 9 o'clock. Now I come up for here yesterday. But I was waiting for this girl to finish. Because I went there. Even my wife came down to join them. Ah man, the children were enjoying themselves. I just had to do like Pastor Banky, praise God. They were running all over the place. Hey. So as you move, you go move. Hey. it was fun. I mean, they're just parking up. If you look out of the window, you see the massive things. They had the lights, they had the TVs, those massive screens. They have everything. They woof out. When the guy will be boom inside my car, I feel my whole body move, you know? So as I turned, after picking my daughter, I turned to leave. I looked, I said, oh, I saw one fat, tired G-Wagon. I said, is that a G-Wagon? My daughter said, yes, no, daddy, that's when I told that they came to school. Everybody was full. I said, okay. Park one black G-Wagon. Go and Google what's this G-Wagon. But the young man ministered. He preached very, very well. He preached very good. You know, if you are doing this and you are not giving your life to Christ, he kept on going over it. This is the one last, it's eternity. He kept on going over it. He preached very well. This is where I'm going with this man. See whether yesterday with Moses Bliss and G-Wagon. The story is about G-Wagon. This is what even the streaming platform pay to gospel musicians. You'll be surprised. You should be your daddy, Mr. Chi was fighting over $350,000. So my own question is, what about the one he didn't fight over? Do you get my point? The one that was paid amicably. Is the one you are fighting over that we know. So, so before, now the way I'm going, this is before the days of people like this. When I was on campus, there was one album this guy released, one of the reigning albums when I was in school. Now, listen, you understand that I left university, so do your calculation. At the end of this, it'll be 34 years. It's been a while. So it's before these days of Moses Bliss and Co., right? All this Mr. Chiwo. So there was not much money for gospel musicians that time. Now, just by the way, we're not doing this for money, okay? We're not doing it for money. But do you know if he had waited, the money will have come. Do you follow my point? Yeah, so let's not even talk about money. I'm not going to talk about money, just to give an idea. But do you know what happened to this guy? He started a church. And he said by himself, with his own mouth. Now, this was a man that the music used to hold massive congregations down. He said with his own mouth that the reason why he's pastoring the church is because when they go to go and minister, they don't give him the respect that they give other ministers. So he started a church because without it, people will not take him seriously. That's why I first told the story of Moses Bliss, Messi Chiu, you know, what do you call it, the other guy, Frank Edward, all those people. I had to mention those people. That if he had waited, in quote, if that, we're not pursuing that, or you get my point. But even if that was the issue, if he had just waited, if he had just continued his work, he would have seen more money. Now, we're not doing it for money, please. I'm just going to illustrate my point. You will have seen more respect, more honor that he never heard his name. I don't think the church became anything significant. But he said with his own mouth, he knows that God didn't call him to do this. But the one that God gave him the grace for. Yeah. He wasn't making the thing that Satan has given to us as an assignment. So he abandoned it. The second reason why people, and I think that's the most important reason, why people abandon their gift. And my own message to everybody, I will not preach to you that one day you go hammer. I beg you, I didn't send you, look. God forbid that I should be preaching that to anybody, to motivate anybody. God forbid, but just go and identify what you have the grace for. And where, now let me say this again, where God gave you the opportunity to fulfill it. Because sometimes people be looking for, they'll be looking for, I'm a preacher. Do you get my point? I can use myself as an example. You give somebody one big church, then somebody gives them a visa and he closes the church. I even hear of people that sell church. This one started the church. Church regrouped on level. He sell the church. Sell the members. Collect the money. When I heard it, I said, Jesus, did this really happen? What is the money for? To go abroad. Some people, they've not read the story of Elimelech, have you? Some people have not read Elimelech's story. You just be running up and down without reading Elimelech. Please, see, there's one young pastor then. It was by my own age. He was older. But probably in his early 30s. He was the first time I realized that my life was not a game of chance. And you know who he used to preach? Who he used to preach? Elimelech. You know who he used to preach? Elkanah. He said Elimelech was running up and down, running to Moab when God needed a prophet in the land. That was one Elkanah gave to God. That's through Hannah. Yeah, he linked the two. He said the land needed redemption. The sons of Eli has scattered things. The worship was out of order. God said, who will put things in place? Elimelech ran to Moab. And that's why Samuel became who he is. And the household of Samuel is known. It took Ruth. So let us remember Elimelech. So God opens a door for people. But because the money is not flowing from there, they close it. You now see them struggling to do ministry on social media. See, who drove you away? Who drove you? One young man I know, you visit the church. Young church, but God had packed. Young church, young. You understand? But God had packed it with, it is too small. 100-something members. Committed people. Then somebody gave him a visa. And he didn't come back. Because you have to live abroad. I don't know about you. What I mean, I'm looking for, is people who are hungry for the word. Anywhere you gather them, there I want to go. So in this life, God opens doors for us. Who lights your candle? So let me put it like this. What did Jesus say about light and candle? He said, no one lights a candle and puts it under a bushel. But what does he do? He puts it on a lampstand so it can light the whole house. So this is what I learned from it. When God, he said, arise, shine. Why? Your light has come. So when God gives you light, he lights your candle. It is his responsibility to put you on a bushel, not on light. It's his responsibility to put it on a lampstand. It is his own job to put it somewhere prominent. It's not mine. Yeah, no, it is him that does it. It's not me that will force myself. No. So if God opens a door for you, it is his door. If you're a preacher, as an example, listen, let me. Me, I don't go to universities much. I don't go to university fellowships. I don't. Not because it's bad. Are you getting my point? But for certain reasons, I don't. It just happened that we don't. When I first came to Enugu, I used to do that a bit. But, not that you don't have to be like me, all right? But my reason is because I just didn't have the time. I just felt like it's not a good use of my time. All right? And because I live in Enugu, and I felt, look, whatever I'm producing, if you want to listen to it, you know where it is. So I didn't bother. But now where I'm going is this. There are people that, I've seen it before. A man is starting a church and is complaining. There's young people that are coming there. And he's complaining. And he's complaining, no. Man, what is he complaining about? Are they listening to the word? That's not a complaint. So, what is the complaint? They don't give money. Okay. You know, the kingdom is very funny. The other day, my wife and I sat down, we're calculating. So people in kingdom were here. I said, do you know this guy? So I come to kingdom as a student, was my student. And yet the other day, I was talking. I said, oh boy, you've been a doctor for 20-something years. He said, yes. That's Izu. I said, what? You've been a doctor for 20 years, 20-something years. And he laughed. I did a calculation. I said, yeah. This guy, you've been a doctor for 20-something years. When he started coming to kingdom, what he was a student. They were the first group of people that used to gather with me. I told you that, let me know, because we are streaming. One of the big politicians, Enugu. Anytime I call him, he picks my call. He will return my call. If he doesn't, he can't answer. He's one I was saying last time that I needed to see him. He said, okay, he'll be living in government house. He used to drive me up and down. Many of you here know him. He used to drive me to Benin to go and preach. Hey, I want to go and teach at Newe. The one that Stephen does for me. I said, okay, come. He'll come. Drive my car. Drive all the way to Newe. He sits and waits for me to go and give lecture. He was a law student. We had just graduated. Is this a small boy today? Last time I talked to him about 2 days ago, he told me, okay, I'm in Abuja, sir. Look, this is just coming from here. Where did he tell you he was coming from? So when I see pastors complain that people are so young, and I'm like, what are you complaining about? They won't grow, Abby. They will not grow. They will not grow. So you'll be complaining, and God opened opportunity doors for you. Ministering from only one campus fellowship to another. They don't have money, I know. They don't have. But they have door. Are you getting what I'm saying? They have plenty hearts. They have many people that will listen. Those early days, I walk around in this our eastern region here. Steve, he sits here most of the time. He was a student in Uli. Till now, his number is saved on my phone as Steve Uli. He hasn't changed. You know the way, because of Android. It hasn't changed. He's still stored as Steve Uli. So, when I'm trying to talk about God opening doors, people will just despise doors that God has opened for them. They just despise doors that God opened because you want to be Pastor Iya Adeboye. I keep on telling this story that Kenneth Hagin, by the time we heard of him for the first time, the man had ministering, by my conservative estimate, for up to 40 years. Because we heard of him in Nigeria here. When I first came in contact with him, his materials, was 1985, I think, or 85, I think so. Then we started reading his books. We thought it was one American preacher that was born yesterday. Yet the man was traveling up and down in America during the Civil War, during the World War. The World War ended which year? 45. He was already a preacher before the war. When is those of you know history, Great Depression in America? Eh? Okay. Is that 29? Let's just take him to 29, all right? He was already a young preacher in 1929. You tell you the depression days, that's when he just starting out in ministry. So by the time we heard of him for the first time, by the time I heard of him for the first time, he was not a small boy. He had been in ministry for over 40-something years. He started his Bible school in the 7th, around 77. The first class, Rema Collis said, finished around 79. What did I tell you? He had been in ministry for over 30 years before Bible school started. And he wants to be Kenneth Hagin overnight. Kenneth Hagin's are not made overnight. He said his mates were having big tents. Having big tents, one big tent to another. The Holy Spirit told him, just stay in the churches. You know what that meant? Small, small churches. He was preaching for 1 week, preaching for 2 weeks, preaching for 3 weeks. He kept on going around and around, driving himself. That's how Americans do. Up and down, abandoning his family for weeks at a time. Managed to get home for a few days, disappear again. People say, go and get your own tent. All the tent makers, if you know what I'm trying to say, all those people that had tents, they disappeared, all vanished. They were the only one that survived was maybe a robot. By the time we knew them. The ministry has many ministries that closed. Men had died. Some of them died before they were 40. And they just stayed there. Now, when you hear of Rima alumni, they are in thousands worldwide. God opens small doors for people. No, it's not good enough. Say, so is this the place you want to, is this the door you want to be servicing all your life? God is a planner. He plans. He's the one that plans. He knows how long you will stay here until he says, okay, it is enough. Come and go and do something else. He knows how long you will stay there until he says, all right, time to expand this and bring it to another level. It's not everything that every preacher is doing that is yours to do. No, it's not. It's not. You know what thing I found out? You know what Solomon said? He said, this thing I found out. That God made men upright, but they sought out many devices. When I read it, I realized that doing what is right is not hard if you can remove the distractions. Do you get what I'm saying? Doing what is right is not hard if you can remove all these things off. Maybe as a preacher now, if you can remove pictures of ministries that God did not call you to from your eyes, if you can stop feeling bad that you have not built a house at a particular age, if you can just stop, you will not easily discover the grace you have and the doors God has opened. Do you follow what I'm saying? You'll be amazed at how easy it is to discover the grace you have and the doors that God opened. Because what happens is that it's all the you have not that makes you uncomfortable, makes you unhappy. You know, people are looking for open door. Once in Enugu here, a community somewhere not too far from here, they had a church. I don't even know how they did it. They had a church. They had a pastor's house. They were now begging one church, one big church, to please send them a pastor. Now, see, if you come to that community, you will not have to try to build the church. They already have one. You won't look for a house. They have one for you. But you know what happened? The church could find nobody willing to go. You know why? It's a village. They don't have money. People are praying for open doors. The brother said the only problem he had, the brother told the story. He said the only problem he had was that he couldn't speak Igbo. They would have gone. Because the community is a bit rural. So you can't come there speaking this Oyinbo you are speaking. You know, say, I have a revelation from everybody looking at you like this. So you needed to be able to mix it with the local language. And that was what he did not have. That was why he didn't jump at the offer. And people were every day, they are there every day. Pray, Father God, open the door. Because all of you, before I start injuring people, because I've opened the door now. It's wide open. No adversary, sir. The same people will be sending pastor came with a text message when it's posting time and sending a recharge card. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? You see, if God can remove from our hearts These other devices we sort out for ourselves that define our lives for us by satanic measurements. They are amazed at how many doors he has opened. You'll be amazed at the doors that he has opened. Start making you uneasy because Satan gave us a measurement. That is the reason, the main reason people don't use their gifts. Let me end my message here. And that's to let us know that, please, oh, reminder, it is not only, it's a pity I'm talking mostly to pastors. One, because I'm a pastor, and then secondly, because I have the message for them. Because it's not only me that will preach everything in the whole of Enugu and the whole of Nigeria. It's not. They have to learn the truth, and all of us have to go into the workforce of the Father, do you get my point, of the kingdom. We have to. So I need to give them the messages. They need to hear it. That's one reason. But having said that, it applies to everybody. One of our brothers is a lawyer. He's a troublesome guy. He's a very troublesome guy. But he told me that he felt that where God wants him to be is his community. So he practices law. He refused to move to Enugu. He refused to move to the big city around. He stays in this village. So he's active. Listen. He's active in this, what do you call it? Yeah, the town unions, everything they have there. He told me himself. That's the calling he feels he has. In fact, there was one young woman they wanted to marry one time. That's the problem they had. He let her know clearly, I'm not relocating from here. If you don't live in the village, don't worry about it. Yeah. So when we are saying this thing, we're not talking only to preachers. It applies to different people in different areas. So don't get the impression that I'm talking only to preachers. It's a principle. Please read my book if you haven't read it. What's the name of that book? How to Work for God. And that will let you understand that the work of God is not just the one we do in church. But equally, all of them, God will hold us accountable. Everybody has a gift. That's the point I've been trying to make. And with that, now let me just summarize with this. Without you effectively using your gift, you make the machine of God's house, you make the building of God's house to be unsteady, and the machine will not work effectively. You hear what I said? If you don't use your gift, no matter how much you think it's not important, you are making the machine of God's house ineffective. You are making the building unsteady. You are a critical beam in that building. And you are not where you are supposed to. That's why I read those scriptures I started with. That's why I said, don't go to somebody who doesn't know what he's doing, telling you something, an engine, is not important. It's all important. You may not know the importance, but the person who planned it, the only thing you know is the grace you have. You don't know the gift you carry. You know the grace, you don't know the gift. You can deduce the gift, but the only one you know for sure, and you will with prayer, because that's very important also. Many people will say, what's my grace? They are forgotten. Yeah. These things, they slip away. When you're a teenager, when you're in early 20s, you discovered the grace. Like, Demos Shakarian said, he found out later that his grace was what? Organizing. One of the gifts that brought for us is Full Gospel Business Men's Fellowship International. Now, when you abandon your grace, after a while, you get something else to do, and then you forget. Like I told those of you in TCC here, I told your pastor, I said, the day I heard her sing during Kingdom Word couples meeting last year, I'd never heard her sing before. Funny, I never heard. The equipment was not yet up because we brought the speakers late. And because I wanted to start on time. So she started singing. You know, when I heard the voice, I had to go inside to say, who is that? Exactly. I had to go back inside. Ah. Later on, I said, you do this? He said, sir, that's what main thing I do. I said, are you serious? He said, no, I've done this. I was a child. Maybe she told me like 4 years or so. Is it 4 or 6? She told me. I said, yeah. I said, please, every service, don't say, will I be the only one singing? I said, go to the church and single. I said, every service, single. Let it be a singing church. I don't care. Every service, single. Bring a new song. This one I just heard. Since I was a child. I don't care where the position you're holding now. Every service, make sure you use this. Because what happens to a lot of us, we forget. I told you, one of the most anointed teachers of the world I ever met in my life is he running up and down? Yeah. One of your brethren. I see anointed people. You know, because of this money and this, I must leave abroad thing. Greener pastures. They just abandon gifts. I told one brother once, I said, wait. You know, as people have skill. Skill. What I will write in 10 pages before I make sense and I feel anointed, this guy will drop the same unction in 3 pages. Bam, 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 the word will enter. Now I call your bro, say, what are you doing? He say, this is what I believe I should be doing. And then, you are an old man now, you are still believing. I see it all the time. This is not brought to me. He said, when he's ready for me, he's, oh boy, now 60 you they look so. Your major milestone is 60 years of age. And my God, I'd say few people that could convince you with the word of God like that guy. But sometimes I just wish I could say, God, you know, in this life, that's why my wife and I will sit down sometimes. I say, sweetheart, you know, when I look at some of these people, I say, what stopped me from following this path? I've just been wondering, why? Why didn't I? It's not as if I was not pushed. It's not as if I was not tempted. It's not as if I was not asked. It's not as if they have more challenges than I had. No. Yet, for one reason or that guy said, no, I'm not doing until another thing I should mention. You can't make God look like you're doing him a favor. No, you can't make the Lord do as if you're doing him a favor. Okay, you know, Lord, when I finish what I'm doing, then that ministry will do it. So the Lord will now say, yes, sir. I'm waiting, sir. When you are ready, your boys will be waiting, sir. Yes, sir. Not like that, though. One man, he called him. Said, you follow me. That one said, let me go home first. He said, listen, anyone who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is not worthy of the kingdom. And that one, he told that one, follow me. That one said that, let me first go and bury my father. He said, let the dead bury the dead. No. The Lord is, look, the kind, the, look, when it hits you hard, I told you, the day I felt sorry that I did not think of my people, my family and all of that, the problems they may have, the needs they might have, what I'm talking about, let me pursue ministry. That my friend who talked to me made me cry that day when I thought of how selfish I was. He said, listen, my friend, no one who loves his father and mother can be my disciple. He asked Peter, do you love me more than this? He doesn't play. Many of us think that, okay, when I have nothing, nobody want to retire into ministry. You want to retire into ministry. You are not called. You are not called. So, you know, Jesus said, hey, it's me that you will serve when you have nothing else to do. When you are not tired. When you now hold your hand to go to the pulpit. The time you had energy to jump up and down, you didn't do anything. Say, I have no use for you. You're a bloody fool. What's bloody fool? Go and decode it. Decode it by yourself. We treat the Lord as if, oh, when I have nothing else to do, I will now answer. One of my colleagues told me, say, you know, I'm not a professor. I said, eh? He said, so I want you to come and counsel me. So what do I need to do so I can now go into ministry? I said, I'm coming. Me? So Nandi Alokwe, that's what the Lord will now use. Exactly. So when the academic sector don't have use for you again, you're not serious. I went home, I told my wife, I said, please, make sure I never talk like this guy. I said, please, make sure, because you'll be in trouble, you. Maybe we must take the Lord's work and be serious about it. You don't. And like I said, it's not ministry alone, because God knows what he's doing. That's why I gave the example of the man who does with children. I want to pray one prayer for you. It's a very funny prayer. But better say amen from the bottom of your heart. All those beautiful doors of opportunities that men and the world present to people that will distract them away from the seemingly small, but the calling of God for your life. May God take those opportunities away in Jesus' name. Amen. May those opportunities be taken away from you in the name of Jesus. May those doors close even when you want to step into them. Amen. May you be denied the promotion that will take you out of your destiny.
Amen.
That visa that you've been looking for, may you not find it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
If that's not where God is sending you. It's taking the things of God as if they are secondary. It's one more major reason why we don't do the reason why God called us. Let me just summarize it like this. You're a servant. You don't determine your life. You don't determine your place. You have a grace. The one who planned everything has decided where to fit. If you don't use your grace, you are denying all something. You are denying all of us something. You are denying us all something. You are denying us all something. I know you've been blessed by my teaching. So just imagine that me too, I'm waiting. And I decide that I'll do this ministry later when my children have all finished school and I don't need. Do you follow my point? Now let's be honest. Will you like it? So what makes you think I am more important than you? Do you follow what I'm saying? You have experienced the gift that I brought to you. What about the gift he sent you to go and give to somebody else? That's the question you should be asking yourself. Let's bow down our heads. Let's just take a minute and thank the Lord. Say, Lord, thank you. Because you keep leading me. You keep leading me, all right? You keep leading me, all right? You keep leading me, all right? Say, Lord, please, these are the things I've heard today. Now, make your own request. Don't let me be distracted. Do not let me be distracted. Do not let me be distracted.